In Lenoir County, a fatal armed robbery took the life of a 37-year-old Chad Bostick, a white man, last week. Bostick's widow was there when armed robbers stormed Pit Stop Bar and Billiards on Highway 11. The suspects came in the building and ordered everyone down. They had their weapons. They went behind the bar. I heard a shot, and I immediately knew it was him, she said. I heard them go out the back. As soon as I knew they were out of the building, I ran straight to him. The woman said her husband is a concealed carry permit holder and had a weapon, but he didn't know how to draw it on the suspects. Chad Bostick leaves behind three teenage daughters. His widow described him as a family man and a businessman, a native of the area, she said. He was well known in the community. As the family members grieve, authorities are searching for the subjects. They're horrible people. They took my husband. They took my kid's father. They have forever changed our lives. We'll never be the same again, she said. It's not something I wish for anybody to have to go through. I will never forgive them. Over the weekend, Lenoir County deputies located what they believed was the getaway vehicle and three occupants. They were all brought in for questioning, but deputies have not charged them or linked them to this crime at the time. According to the sheriff, however, Sheriff Ingram said all three persons of interest were jailed on unrelated charges. A bar patron was also shot during the robbery but survived. Also, a concealed carry permit holder. The widow said that person was shot as they were reaching for their weapon. The woman said the robbers got away with around $400. The woman said her husband had operated the bar for about 9 years. She said she is now considering closing it. Justin LaVon Lynch and Traveris Markell Lane, two black thugs, have been arrested and charged with murder and armed robbery. What a terrible end for this white family man. Black Beast raped and murdered a white woman and a tourist in Grenada. Americans were shocked after hearing of the savage murder of a white American woman who was on the first day of her vacation on a beautiful beach. A man, being quizzed over the brutal rape and murder of an American tourist in Grenada, had only been released from prison a month ago after being jailed for child rape. Police sources on the Caribbean islands said David Benjamin, a black man, was freed in December after serving 15 years. He is suspected of killing Jessica Coulter, who died from extensive skull fractures and asphyxia, as she walked along a deserted beach with her husband on the first day of her holiday. Autopsy results revealed today. Colker, an anesthesiologist from Atlanta, Georgia, said, to have been raped before being murdered. Benjamin walked into a police station in the parish of St. David's the day after Colker's body was found in an area of mangroves near Los Sages Hotel in St. David's, where she and her husband were staying. Benjamin was set free in December. He had been locked away for the rape of a young child. Another black on white crime in Grenada. A bereaved husband was taken of his grief after his professor wife was found dead on the Caribbean island of Grenada, as a native has been charged in her death. Matt Vianetti spoke out after a 6-day search to find his lost spouse, Linnea Vinuet, came to an abrupt end when her body was found in a makeshift grave. Akikam Frank, 26, a resident of Grenada, the island nation where the Vinuets were living with their two sons at the time. A black man now stands accused of killing her after she went on an early morning jog. The white family will never be the same again. Fort Smith. The Fort Smith Police Department has identified the victim of a deadly shooting that occurred Saturday as 22-year-old Caleb Watson, a white man. Detective Anthony Parkinson said, it appears two suspects invaded and robbed his home at North 47th Street in Windsor Drive. He said Watson was shot multiple times in the chest and leg. He was later pronounced dead at a Fort Smith hospital. Police are searching for two black males believed to be suspects in the case. Parkinson said witnesses described them as wearing dark, baggy clothing with ski masks covering their faces. Parkinson said a suspect knocked on the front door, then went to the back of the house. Watson went to answer the door when the two suspects went through the back door, which was unlocked, according to police. Police said after shooting Watson, the suspects were able to get away with undisclosed items, leaving through the back door on foot. Police have made a second arrest in the shooting and killing of a white man in Philadelphia back on Thanksgiving. Keenan Glenn, 21, a black man, is charged with murder, robbery, and other related offenses in connection to the shooting death of 21-year-old Ryan Kelly, a white man. The first suspect in Kelly's death, 18-year-old David Ramos Jr., also a black man, was arrested back on January 16th. On January 17th, police obtained an arrest warrant for Glenn. Glenn was then arrested on January 22nd in Newcastle, Delaware. On Tuesday, he was transported to Philadelphia from the Howard Young Correctional Facility in Wilmington on November 26, shortly after 5 a.m. Police responded to a radio call reporting a person with a gun on the 3500 block of Almond Street in Philadelphia. When they arrived, they found Kelly on the ground suffering from a gunshot wound to the chest. He was taken to Temple University Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Kelly lived with his parents a block away from where he was found dead. Davidson, the alleged ringleader, was sentenced to death. He's awaiting execution at the Riverbend Maximum Security Institution, according to the Department of Correction Records. The state Supreme Court is legally required to review death sentences to ensure it was not arbitrary, that the evidence properly supported the sentence. After circumstances supporting the sentences outweighed any mitigating circumstances, and that the sentence was disproportionate to sentences in similar cases. In the hour they had before the justices at the Supreme Court building in downtown Knoxville, Davidson's attorneys argued that he wasn't properly read his Miranda rights when he was arrested. They also claimed that the initial search warrant for Davidson's home wasn't signed and should be considered invalid. The Knoxville police officer incorrectly photocopied the warrant, cutting off the signature at the bottom. However, by the time they realized the mistake, KPD and the Knox County Sheriff's Office had already entered Davidson's home and found Christensen's body. Would Miss Christensen's body have been discovered but for the legal entry? Asked Davidson's attorney, David Eldridge. Evidence found under a faulty search warrant is often excluded from a trial. However, the Supreme Court justices probed the idea of a so-called good faith exception. Such laws do exist in Tennessee, but do at the federal level and in other states. They allow courts to forgive clerical errors in documents if officers did not act with ill will. A grisly, bloody murder. Christensen and Newsom had gone on a date at a local restaurant on Saturday, January 6, 2007, but did not return home. During their drive, the couple was hijacked, bound, and blindfolded and taken back to Lamaricus Duval Slim Davidson's rented house on Chipman Street. Because the killers ditched Christensen's SUV just a few hours after it was stolen. It had been suggested that the primary motives of the premeditators was their desire to kidnap, torture, rape, and murder instead of a simple hijacking. According to Officer Todd Childress, Newsom's body was wrapped in a sheet and or comforter and that the victim had been shot at least three times. He also notes that Newsom's shoes, socks, identification, and iPod were missing. His socks and body had been burned. Christensen's parents found her abandoned Toyota 4Runner two blocks away from the Chipman Street house on Monday with the help of her mobile phone provider. An envelope recovered from the vehicle yielded fingerprint evidence that led police to Lamaricus Davidson and 236 16th Street. When police went to the address on Tuesday, January 9th, they found the home unoccupied and Christensen's body in a trash can in the kitchen. They did some really nasty things to this lady, said Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal Rich Knightman of the Western District of Kentucky. She had been dismembered, her body found in five separate trash bags, according to the grand jury presentment. Christensen was raped vaginally, orally, and anally, and Newsom was raped anally. Vanessa Coleman, pictured below to the right, who decided to get in the action, the other 4 men had started, told police that she witnessed Christensen's mouth being cleaned out with a bottle of some type of cleaner in an attempt to remove DNA evidence. Coleman was also said that she had seen clothes that were stained with blood and smelled of gas being put in the washing machine at the house. Newsom's body was found adjacent to railroad tracks in East Knoxville the next afternoon. Was this a hate crime? Many say yes, but doesn't violent crime like this always stem from hatred? These monsters to the right already had the car they carjacked, and if not inspired by pure anti-white hate, would have either just simply shot the young couple dead or left them and taken the car and money. No. All evidence points to the fact that the fun of torturing the white man and the woman was the real motive. And even if it wasn't, shouldn't the fact that non-white areas of the nation, suburbs, where non-whites move, violent crime increases dramatically. And in schools across America, white kids are brutalized by roving non-white gangs, be enough to issue a public alert warning the general population about the increased risk of rape, assault, or murder in the presence of non-whites. It's sad to say, but this lovely young couple, while experiencing excruciating torture before being snuffed out, is just one example of the brutality that hundreds and thousands of whites have been subjected to. Don't think this won't affect you or your family. Widespread suffering is happening now. This crime in your community. What does this crime in Tennessee have to do with you and your community? It's simple. You and your family could be next. Whether you are a white or a non-white, the violence coming out of the non-white areas of America has reached epidemic proportions. And we're not joking. Black males are the greatest threat to other black males and black females. Misogynistic views of the fast-growing non-white Hispanic population and the resulting hideous crime wave sweeping the nation against women and girls should have everyone on edge looking over their shoulder. The anti-family views of the Muslims from any country and the radical ideas of many in the Asian community, such as the Hmongs and the migrants from Africa, many who promote female circumcision and very anti-women's sentiments, should serve as a warning to all God-fearing Americans. Will it be you or your sister, your daughter or your mother who is raped? Will your son, your father, or your brother be brutalized and begging for the sweet release of death? Could it get worse than rape and murder? It's hard to imagine that it could get any worse than being raped and murdered. But what if no one cared? Isn't it that the ultimate result and the ultimate insult? Yes, you may think to yourself that the perpetrators have been caught and they will soon pay for their crime and justice will have been done. What if an extremely large percentage of the non-white residents of the U.S. were statistically proven to be a violent prone? What if you weren't properly warned of this dire threat? What if it happens so often that it just doesn't make the news like white-on-black crimes do? What if the rape and murder of your loved one, because of the race factor, is so common that hardly anyone hears about it? Was this couple nothing but a blip in the radar screen of life, or are they in fact casualties of a race war against whites? What do you think? Media blackout. This crime is not just a story about a couple in Tennessee. This story is about the suffering and abuse that white people are being subjected to in town after town across this nation. It is only going to get worse. This issue becomes local when you make it a local issue. Contact your local media. Send a copy of this leaflet to your radio, your TV, and your newspaper outlets. Post this leaflet on bulletin boards. You can go to kkk.bz for information on your nationwide channel Christian media campaign. What about the white woman dragged to death behind her car at the hands of black thugs, or the elderly white man beaten and set on fire in Chicago by blacks? What about the Duke LaCrosse rape case? On the same day that the completely innocent white teens were vindicated of a wrongdoing, a stupid comment by a white apologist, Don Imus, gets all the attention for 2 weeks. No apologies from Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, who marched through North Carolina wrongly accusing these white college students. Don't let this couple's death have been in vain. Let everyone know about it, and it's the right thing to do. Did you know that after the Asian student at Virginia Tech went on a mass killing spree, the Asian Journalist Association issued a memo to all members and reporters and media editors to not mention the race of the killer because he was Asian? Did you know that the radio shock jock Don Imus commented after the Rutgers girls' ball team was virtually ignored until NBC's Al Roker took credit in his blog for rallying all of the black reporters and media editors of the Black Journalist Association to make the comment an issue and to get Imus fired? Did you know that the White Journalist Association issued not one single statement at all about the Channon Christian rape murder? Why? Because any decent journalist who dared to start a White Journalist Association would be blasted as a hater and a bigot. No press release because there is no association for white journalists.